And on the other end of that spectrum, I had an opportunity to listen also to some 8-track tape playbacks. Now, most of my cars had 8-track. I think some of them had cassette, but most of them had 8-track players in the cars. And the lack of, the other end of the spectrum, the lack of quality that I was happy with when I was a kid is astounding. Those 8-track tapes didn't have a lot of good quality. You know, you could hear the internals of the 8-track player itself rambling around inside that plastic case almost as high as you could hear the radio or the audio that was coming out of them. So, yeah, that works in both directions, high quality on the output, but also low quality depending on the tools that you're using. And this is the mid to late 70s that 8-tracks were very popular. That's the time that I was in high school.
You hit on something that it should be obvious, I suppose. 8-tracks were popular, first of all, in automobiles. And if you've got the wind in your hair and the windows rolled down and, you know, well, depending on, also on the car you were driving, you had lots of what we call today road noise. So hearing anything at a quality level that might impress or even startle you, that'd be a few years coming, you know. It'd be a long time before systems inside automobiles were anything like that. But I have an automobile that's older, and it has a nice sound system in it, you know. Nice sound system, which I don't utilize that much. But I can hear much better the insulation. From the road noise is adequate enough that I can be pretty discerning about what I'm hearing. But early on, you know, it just wasn't there and wasn't expected. So there's something marvelous about that. There was a, oh gosh, what's his name? Played saxophone. And his name might come back to me. But there was a cassette tape now, a few years newer than the 8-tracks. But they were tiny little 8-tracks. You know, there was lots of magnetic room there for recording information. An 8-track, it's an eighth of an inch thick. We're not an eighth of an inch wide, I think. So I played this tape, and every time this saxophonist hit this one note, I got chills. No matter where I was in traffic or tooling down the road, I'd be listening to this thing, and I'd get a chill because of this. Now, later, I played this on a digital track, and it wasn't the same thing, and the effect was not the same. So I figure that these people who are serious about audio, they got something there. Because if I can hear the same thing by the same artist, original recording, the original source material is the same. But one is analog and the other is digital. There's a lot of sacrifice for some of the qualities of digital audio. Nothing can beat analog sound.
KK4JPQ. W4DJW. Yeah, that takes a lot of really high sample rate to even get close to analog audio. Really high sample rate. And when you go up on the sample rate, you also have to go up on the CPU, the power for the CPU to be able to process that sample rate. So, yeah, it's hard for digital to keep up with analog. That's like one of the times when radio-controlled airplanes went from analog servos to digital servos, the digital was a lot more powerful, but the analog was much more precise until they got the quality of the digital up there close to the quality of the analog. People still preferred their analog before even over the higher horsepower of the digital. But eventually the digital caught up with the analog, and it got so close. It didn't match it, but it got so close that humans could no longer detect the difference. And that's all. That's as close as it needed to be. That sax player, that wasn't Kenny G, was it?
No. Kenny G, that would have come to me. It seems his first name was Dave. I have a little trick that just came to me one day, some 20 years ago. I go through the alphabet. I'm trying to think of a name, and it's especially good for a name. A person's name that they go by, or the name of a product, or the name of a town, or, you know, a name. It seems like I file that away by the first letter. Somewhere, everybody has a Rolodex. Now, there's a word for you. Everybody has a Rolodex in their brain somewhere. And how do you file things away? Well, I do it alphabetically by the first letter. So I go through the letters, and more often than not, it jumps out. But I'm having a difficult time with this particular saxophonist. He plays jazz, and he's, admittedly, I believe he's just the very best. Everyone would agree. You've heard the name. If I'm not mistaken, his first name is Dave. Oh, it's a little troubling that I've been through most of the alphabet, and it just doesn't pop in. Do you have any tricks like that? Memory joggers? KK4JBQ. Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
N4NR for just a second here. I know you said his first name might have been Dave, but I was thinking more like Boots Randolph might have been one of the better saxophone players around. Y'all go ahead, N4NLR.
Was that Larry? That it, Larry? And my cue for doing that is called Google. I just Googled sax players, and I got like 15 of them. And none of them's first name starts with a David.
KK4JBQ. Well, no, not Boots Randolph, although... You know, as far as jazzy, like, he's got it all tied up. It'll come to me just as soon as the net closes, it'll come to me, just smash me right in the face. It's irritating, especially as we do get on in years, it does become more difficult. It's characteristic, it's classic. So, it's worthwhile. For me, it's necessary to challenge myself, to keep working on it, to develop some way of recalling. It's terribly embarrassing. And I know everybody makes allowances for people who get older, but I'm not going to make allowances for myself. I'm going to, for as long as I can, insist that I keep it sharp. But if you keep it sharp, you know, you gotta grind on the pencil, you know. You gotta keep sharpening the pencil. KK4JBQ.
So there's two of them in here whose name starts with a D. There's Dexter Gordon, and there's Donnie McCaslin. That's the only two that start with a D. Was it either one of those two?
No. So maybe I'm wrong. And this happens too sometimes. I've landed on the wrong letter of the alphabet. I should have just... I jumped on the first one. You know, D is rather early, and I go the alphabet, A through Z. If you land on one that... It could be... If their first name is like a two-parter, or their second name is like a two-parter, you know, like Mary Jo is a two-part name, first name. But my Aunt Mary Jo does not go by Mary, does not go by Joe. It's the first name is the two things together. And the same for a last name. And so I probably stopped early, too early to actually get it. You know what I'm doing. And it's not coming because of the situation we're in. My mind gets in that place, and it's fascinating how many times that's helped me. Now, it doesn't always. It didn't at first, not until I realized, hey, there's something to this. I should make a point. And if I'm struggling to remember something, go through the alphabet. And it, more likely than not, that'll help me a great deal. It surprises me sometimes. It gives me a chill sometimes. How freaky that feels for that to just pop right into your, you know, I did use the word Rolodex. There, I don't think there are many people listening, you know, who don't understand what a Rolodex was. But I've flipped through a Rolodex so many times, you know, you keep flipping, you don't give up. But you have to start somewhere. And selecting a letter of the alphabet, and that's all you do. You don't press it any harder than that. You just envision in your mind the letter of the alphabet. Is it Kenny G? Is that a, that's a saxophone, a saxophonist, isn't it? Kenny G.
Yeah, he's the one that I recognize the quickest when I hear him play. I found two more Davids. I found three more. David Binney, great saxophone player with an interesting angular take on modern jazz, and David Sanchez, extending his reach beyond the Puerto Rican roots, has evolved into rhythmical, compelling improvisation with one of the most succulent tones on the scene. And then there's another David. That's two of them. And there's a third one, and he's way down. David Liebman, Liebman. Loving him all the way back to his living off of the Lighthouse stuff. Liebman still channels Coltrane like no other. It wasn't any of those three, was it?
You're sitting at your computer and you type a lot quicker than I do. So the song that I'm talking about, where it has this note, this passage, it lasts for no more than 2 seconds. But I get this chill. It runs through me. But it has to be an analog. The name of the title of the song is The Dream. THEDREAM. The Dream. So, he made that song famous, I think. And especially on the saxophone. So maybe that'd be a good, that would weed out a lot. Or help you get closer. KK4JPQ.
Okay, I just pulled that one up. And yeah, I can get The Dream by Michael Cimbello, David Sanborn. By Michael Cimbello, in parentheses, David Sanborn. That might be a stage name versus his real name. But The Dream is the name of the song. Yeah, and I like listening to sax. I could just sit there, especially late in the evening when you're tired and you're just resting. There's nothing like the sax. But I don't know if you've ever played musical instruments much, but the sax is a really hard one to learn.
Especially woodwind. Not much to that. Strings, I've fiddled around with strings. No pun intended. David Sanborn. And it wasn't Dave. I mean, maybe some people call him Dave Sanborn. But I've always heard David Sanborn. He's the one, and The Dream is the title. And it's a passage where he on a stringed instrument, you would call it bending a note. And with a sax, you can also play one note and bend it. That is, change its frequency, going higher as you bend it. This is what you do with stringed instruments, too. And he does that, and it just, it's an amazing physical response to an audio stimulant. And I just don't get that. I just don't hear that way. But that note did it, and every time I play that one passage, I listen for it, and it always works. KK4JBQ.
Well, Larry, I've never done drugs. I always stayed away from drugs. I was afraid they'd burn up brain cells. I was told that, and I believed it. But I tell you what, when you listen, what I imagine what being on drugs is like for a drug addict. When I'm listening to the saxophone, it's like the closest you can get to being on drugs without actually being on drugs. Let me check for any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge Team Internet, called W4DJW. Okay, back to you, Larry. KK4JBQ, W4DJW, and the Blue Ridge Team Internet.
Running out of steam or anything, but I don't want to belabor the audience if we have any. I have too much fun just recalling things and talking about stuff that's, you know, meant something. Whether it has anything to do with radio, I think this opportunity, some people make it a point to say that, you know, keep your topics to amateur radio. This hobby is a life experience. And it's so wide and broad, I don't know how anyone can limit it that much to say that we only have talks about amateur radio here. Anyone who's been here long enough knows that my special interest is antennas. Why is that so? Well, I've got decent radios, but I'm restricted on antennas. So that's where I'm lacking. And that's the stimulant for any human on Earth. What are you lacking most? Maybe you want it, but no, you don't want it any more than you want some other things, perhaps. But it's something that's not there. It ought to be for you to enjoy other things, perhaps. And it doesn't have to be an antenna. Maybe it's a motorcycle. And I've done this and had this this deficit for long enough to know that this is not just a desire for the very best of anything that would be adequate, you know. But I live in an HOA, and our HOA cops, I call them, the people who patrol the neighborhood. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm paranoid, but I think when they walk in, their dog is just a cover. They're actually checking, because they look all around. They look in the air. They look at structures of every kind. And I've had one of them come right up to me in a rain. And I was on patio. And he was asking another question, but our community is gated, but anyone can walk around in here, and many do, especially if they have pets. They walk their pets. You can tell there's an antenna in the air if you see a wire, because all of the utilities are underground here. Any wire in the air is very obvious and out of place. Anyway, well, that's enough about amateur radio. Oh, we can talk about that if you like. KK4JBQ.
Are you familiar with the South Carolina House Bill H4549? It has made it further through the legislative South Carolina branch than any time in the past before. It's only got like two, maybe three more steps to go before the governor signs it, and I've got good word that the governor is going to sign it. And what that says is you can, as an amateur radio operator, you can put up a reasonable antenna system. And how they define reasonable is if it falls over, it won't fall on somebody else's property, right? So if your lot is 200 feet wide and you put up a 100-foot tower right in the middle of it, it'd fall 100 feet one way or 100 feet the other way, it wouldn't fall on anybody else's property. If it's only 120 feet wide, then you could put up a 60-foot tower and it could fall 60 feet one way or 60 feet the other way. But that bill is closer to being passed now than it ever has. It's made several attempts in the past to get passed, but it's been revised and it was submitted again. It was read, you know, about a week back, and that moved the pointer, and it's got a bunch of representatives that are backing it, and the governor saying, actually, if it makes it all the way to the governor, that the governor will sign it. And at that point, Larry, you can put up whatever antenna you want, as long as it can't fall on somebody's property and do damage to their property.
I would be interested to follow the outcome of this effort. I've been in the hobby what now, going 12-14 years, and long enough. You see, when we moved in here, it'd be another 10 years before I would become a ham. So when I signed this addendum to our deed, which is called the Covenants and Agreements, I think that's the way it's titled, Covenants and Agreements, using an old biblical word, the covenant, to add strength to this promise that you're making, and it is at the risk of your deed. Your deed is at risk here. That's what they hold. You know, that's the last nut, right? So if someone who lives in an HOA seems to talk with some measure of fear in their voice, that's the reason why. They can cause you a lot of trouble. And it differs. You know, you can put an HOA together in a lot of different ways. In 1999 may have been the worst possible one, because no one here owns any dirt. There's no land that's a property of anyone who lives here. If you want to put a plant in the ground, you have to run that by an architectural committee. And they're serious about it. It's actually a functioning, you know, committee. The fellow who is chair of that committee lives right across the street from me now. They're awfully serious about it, to keep it in a certain, you know, reasonableness for occupancy based on what most people would rather do. Now, I kind of think, like most hams do, that the service we offer, the expertise that we embody, that should be reason enough for exception, you know, to this general rule. But I can't put a support for an antenna in the ground, because I don't own the dirt, you know. And as it reads, I really don't own the sheathing of the house, the vinyl siding. And I don't own the roof, the asphalt shingles that are on the roof. I own the interior and the footprint. Now, what do you think about them apples?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out if somebody was willing to take the risk, right, to run it by the... In my neighborhood, you have to get approval from the architectural committee, which is a joke, because none of the people on that committee are architects. They don't even know what the function of an architect is. But you got to run it by them before you do anything that alters the architecture of your lot. Even cutting down trees. They got on to me one time for cutting down trees, and I told them to scoot, to get on out of there and not to come back. And they didn't bother me anymore after that. But I haven't had I don't want to push it to the point to where I put up an antenna that can be seen from the center of the road. That's what they tell me that you can't do. As long as you can put anything in your backyard you want, as long as you can't see it over the peak of your house from the center of the road. You know, you draw a line connecting that, which means you can put up antennas kind of high in the backyard, but you can't, like I couldn't put a 100-foot tower up, but it is, you know, more than 100 feet from the center of my backyard to anybody else's yard. So it'll be interesting. It would be worth it to me to go ahead and put one up, you know, run it by the architecture committee. If they say no, put it up anyway, and then see how well this law holds up if the governor signs it. And I don't know, the way yours is worded, if you don't own the land, then that might be a different issue. The way they have it worded, it might not be an issue with what you're doing on your property. because it's no longer you doing on your property. Now it's you doing on somebody else's property. But if I became a ham 5 years after I moved here, which was around 98, 99, 5 years later in 2004, I became a ham. And if I would have known when I moved in that I was going to be a ham and required an antenna, I probably wouldn't have signed that contract, that binding contract. Wouldn't have been interested in it at all. That's why now I'm actually spending some time during the days looking for some land that's further out that's not in an HOA just to get away from the HOA. I don't like to be controlled like that. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
KK4JBQ. Well, I've heard some folks speak about HOAs enough to know that they're all put together differently, as you suggested. But they had it pretty good. They had it's pretty tightly interwoven into your deed. Now, we own the property. We paid the house off a few years back. And I don't get on roofs anymore. I fell off a roof once, and I'm just thankful for the life I still have. It feels hard to hit a ground. You know, I can still feel it. I have fallen, but not this hard. I was carrying the ladder and walked over some uneven ground. In other words, my feet could not anticipate the ground it was going to make contact with. So I stumbled. I didn't fall hard. I was carrying the ladder. I didn't fall hard. But I fell on an unforgiving driveway. You know, driveways are poured and then the surface given a texture. I thought about all of this while I was still in the air. You know, I'm going downhill slightly. I reacted at the last moment by tossing the ladder. You know, that's not important anymore. And I remember that I had a fraction of a second to think about my landing and where I was going to abuse my body. Believe it or not, I can recall that there was a lot of time while I was airborne. And on a clock, it was just a couple seconds maybe. But you have time to consider that. And I did, and well enough that I survived. I saw it coming. And I don't get on the roof anymore. And I wasn't putting up an antenna when I was doing this. I was trying to clean the leaves out of the gutters. I don't do that anymore. Let it overflow. I can't care anymore. I didn't see my mistake. That was to carry the ladder. I'd already finished the job. Carry the ladder over uneven ground. You're just not sure of. You can stumble. And I didn't see that coming. I like to think I'm smarter than that, and I would have been had I been forewarned, but nothing forewarns you of an accident. That's going to happen. So if you want to keep your teeth and all your bones, I don't know. I'm not offering anybody any suggestion for their lifestyle. But for me, I had to calm it down a little bit. KK4JDQ.
Yeah, we have to hire younger guys to do that stuff, right? Or somebody who's got a jig lift that can just do that. My best investment I ever made, I think, out where it comes to climbing to clean out gutters was leaf filter. I had that leaf filter put on, and I can see from some parts of the house, I can see gutters down below and no leaves whatsoever in the gutters anymore. That was a really good investment. I'm glad I finally broke. My neighbor did that, and he said he got a discount if he recommended somebody, and they did it. And so he told me about it, so I went ahead and did it. And he got a discount for me doing it. And they discounted me for getting – I mean, it was a discount for me and a discount for him, so it was well worth it. But probably the best investment I ever made – such that I would not have to be making an investment into the Greenville Hospital Systems or Burisma, whatever that is at this point in time. Let me check for additional stations. I'll be right back to you, Larry. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Well, it looks like we have unloaded second shift successfully, Larry. I appreciate you hanging around helping me do that. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
KK4JBQ, I know better than to think that there's nobody else out there. I know better than that. But if they don't want to talk, well, they don't want to talk. But let it be understood that I would consider it a contribution and not a distraction to our conversation, the one that Dave and I are having. It would be a contribution for anybody to join in, to jump in, however you want to talk about it. Or just stay in the weeds if you want to, because we're going to assume that somebody's listening. And while I'm on that strand, I want to ask about your hearing aids. You've been talking freely about it, and I'm going to assume that you don't have a vanity issue about this or talking about it, but I'm curious. I have a bit of a hearing loss, and it's not, I don't feel disabled in any way for hearing things that are important. Range. I can only guess when the dryer is finished. Donna can hear it upstairs, and the dryer's downstairs. It's completely out of, I have a notch there, you might say. I'm just notched out. I don't hear anything I don't hear that dryer. I don't hear some timers, electronic timers in particular. We've got one in the house. And I have looked after that little device. It's made by Presto. I say this because you can't go out and get one now. I'm sorry. You'll have to buy it at some Goodwill somewhere, maybe. But they used to make kitchen timers, and this one is loud and intrusive. It will just grab your attention. That's what a timer ought to do, right? But the timer on the dryer... she also says there's one on the washer, but I don't even listen to that. But when the dryer's done, that's when, you know, the whole cycle is done. That's when you want to know. Well, anyhow, are those aids working out for you?
They are, and the ones that I got, you can get them at any CVS. They usually have a big... one of those big display cardboard stands that are somewhere in the store, in a couple of places in the store in CVS, and it's got like three different levels that you can get them. They're called Lexi. And I went ahead and got rather than buy the lower ones and then buy the middle ones and then buy the upper ones, I just bought the upper ones. So it saved money in the long run. But one thing that the dryer at our house is pulling loud enough I can hear it without hearing aids. But the coffee pot, I never even knew it had a timer on it, or not a timer, but a chime on it, till I got the hearing aids. And I'd always set my watch to say, you press and hold the button and that little Siri thing would come up and start twirling. I'd say, set coffee timer for 12 minutes. And then in 12 minutes, it'd tell me to go back down there. And when I had the hearing aids, I'd go back down there, and it would be finishing up, and I'd hear a chime. And I never even knew it had a chime on it. But I could hear it with the hearing aids. But the thing about these hearing aids is they come with an app, and you can pull the app up on your phone. And the app lets you change the amplification, and it lets you change the balance. If one of yours is stronger than the other one, then you can back off on that ear and increase on the other ear. And mine are that way because I always hand launch racing airplanes with my left hand. I'm left-handed. So my left ear was right next to an engine that was running at like 28,000 RPM with a tuned pipe coming out of the back of the exhaust right next to my ear, within a foot of my ear. I was like 127 dB, less than a foot away, and that's the ear that's damaged. So if I cover my right ear, there's a lot of things that I can't hear. out of my left ear that I can hear with my right ear. But that's what this app does, is it lets you control the balance left or right, the volume of both of them combined, or the pitch. And when you change the pitch, that's when you get those high pitches. That's like the coffee pot, the chime on the end when the coffee is finished brewing. It's also when you're listening to TV. I don't know what kind of audio system you have on your TV. I know the flat screen TVs don't come with good audio, and some people supplement them with others. And we used to do that, but we got one of those smart TVs, and it didn't need that. But you can't. I used to get frustrated watching TV, watching the news, or watching a movie, either one. It sounded like they were mumbling to me, right? I couldn't hear their complete articulation of every word. Their enunciation of the words was, like when I was living in France, they called that mange le mot, that's eat the word, right? And they'd tell me sometimes if I tried to talk French too fast, they'd say, you're manging the mot, you're eating the words, slow down a little bit and, you know, enunciate your words better. I thought it was the TV. I thought these newscasters, they're not enunciating. When I put the hearing aids on, they are enunciating just fine. And you can increase your ability to detect that or decrease your ability to detect that with the tone slider. So you have a balance slider, you have an audio level slider, and you have a tone slider. And there's a couple other ones too that say if you're in a crowded room, it listens to only the person in front of you. So where your face is pointed, that person you can hear, and it kind of tunes out all the people around you and behind you to your side. Or you can say, you know, I want to hear everything where I am, right? I'm in the den, and there's people sitting beside me and in front of me and behind me, and I want to hear everybody. So it's really good for that. But here's the thing. It takes some getting used to, because if you the tendency is, yeah, crank up that treble. Because that's where their articulation is coming through. But if you crank up the treble, then the two hearing aids talk to each other. And because their microphone is so close to their ear, because they're hearing the mic and the speaker are less than a centimeter apart on your hearing aid, right? They're really close together. So it's easy for them to get crosstalk between their mic and their speaker. I don't know if you've ever, playing with ham radio, you run across that all the time, and you learn not to get your speaker too close to your mic, right? Or you get an echo, or you get a squeal, and you get feedback. So when you crank that tone up, the possibility for getting that, the two crosstalk between, now they're able to detect it really fast, so when they do get that feedback, they detect it really quick, and they squelch it out. But you can still, if you crank the tone up too high, you'll get more and more and more of that. Whereas if you got to find the balance where it doesn't go so low that you can't hear them enunciate, but it doesn't go so high that you get feedback. And that's something you learn over time. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
That's fascinating, Dave. KK4JBQ. I'm familiar with feedback. The one experience that's been unique for me, I don't think that many people have run the church that we attended in Kingsport, and this is in Tennessee, had a really, really decent sound system. We had been there for maybe 10 years, and it's where Donna and I met. And they were having problems. But it was only when the problems were such that the sound system was about to start fire. We saw the evidence of charring on some of the components. And so we redesigned it. And we got professional help redesigning it. And, oh, goodness, it took almost 2 years to spec that out and to shop for the components and to install. It was really done right. And I became the guy that ran the mixer. I ran it from the choir loft. I could oversee the entire room and what was going on. Had a mic on everyone who participated in the service. And that's at the choir loft. So members of the choir were very close to my operating position. And we had one lady in the choir who wore a hearing aid. And I would, there would be a point where I was making an adjustment on my mixer, and it would squeal so loud that I could hear it. I mean, I could hear it. She was maybe three people away from me. And we have to get that fixed. So I understand what that howl sounds like, just, you know, on the outside. Does it howl so loudly that other people can hear it around you?
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. That depends. That depends on how high I have the volume set. So one other thing that it does is if you got your it's linked to your smartphone via Bluetooth, and you know how sometimes, like if you pull up YouTube and you're watching a video on YouTube, instead of you hearing it through the air, through the speaker or off of the smartphone and then coming into your hearing aid, it just goes directly from your smartphone through via Bluetooth to your hearing aids. Well, some people that build YouTube videos, they don't pay close attention to the audio level of their video that they're uploading. And it'll have really low audio. And you probably notice this. And you have to really crank up all your different audio sliders to be able to hear what they're saying. Well, you do that, and then you go to something that has normal audio, and boom, it's loud. And one time, and I didn't know it, one time I hadn't turned the volume down after sliding the volume up really loud so I could hear it. And when I went to something different, Amy looked at me like, do you really need those things that loud? She could hear it. She could hear my hearing aids across on the other side of the bed. She could hear that, what I was, because I was looking at my phone and I was looking at a video, and then when I went off of the video, it was pretty loud. And so I was, you know, I was hunting for the slider to turn the volume down. But in that interim, you know, where it first comes on and there's a huge difference in the audio, yeah, people outside of you can hear what it is you're listening to.
Fascinating. And maybe, you know, not a very important limitation or effect. It's not with you all the time. But I'm really glad I asked, only because I'm interested in that kind of thing. Maybe because I was a musician in my youth, you might say. I was a stage musician. I sang in a group. I had big speakers, you know, within 3 feet of me, speakers that were pushing sound way back into a deep auditorium, you know. Not to jar the fillings in your teeth, to say the truth. And that is what I attribute to my hearing loss. But my hearing loss is really a notched thing. We were kids and did not use any hearing protection at all. But anybody that grew up in the 60s and 70s and 80s and was a musician on stage, this is just the price you pay, I guess. And it's not aggravating to me at all. And now that you mentioned it, yes, my coffee pot. According to Donna, my coffee pot beeps when the cycle is complete, but I never heard it either. We were talking about this very subject once, and I says, well, Donna, the instructions say that my coffee pot beats, but I've never heard it. Is that thing actually? Yeah, she said, oh, yeah, it does. So I know where my notch is. There's a smartphone app that will, I think it's called Sonic, and it will help you and identify every tone by the frequency. and you can slide the tone and go from 20 to 20,000, you know, hertz. And you can map out your own notch, your own loss. You know where that is. And if that be the case, I maintain that there should be some kind of reasonable restriction on people who design alarms. The alarms that I've been talking about, maybe that you've been talking about too, they're not critical. They're not life-saving or life-threatening, you know. But anything that's an alarm is vying for your attention. It should be, there should be a range where alarms are just not thought to be effective for everybody, you know. Not for everybody. But that's threading the needle too fine, maybe. Dave, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And here we are at, oh goodness, about 10 minutes till 11. I don't want to push my welcome, you know. I don't want to wear out my welcome here. Great to talk with you, and I thoroughly enjoy it. So maybe we've got a few extra check-ins. Maybe there are people out there that are waiting to the end. I don't know. I hope they let themselves be known and jump in both feet and enjoy this community that has been developed all around. You know, you've been here longer than I, and probably long enough to own part of the development. I've just been one of these people that have taken advantage of all the work that's done by people who put that repeater up there and who keep it in good working order. I just think it's a marvelous resource. It shouldn't be ignored until absolutely needed in an emergency, you know. Let's keep our skills sharp. If you're not comfortable talking into a microphone, you get that way, but only by talking into a microphone. That's the price. This is KK4JBQ. I'll turn it back to you, Dave. Thank you so much. Calling the net, being here, and bringing us all together. 7-3.
Well, Larry, I enjoyed it. And Ray, K4SUG, Ray would be proud. Because it doesn't run this long, this much anymore. It used to be it'd run to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, at least 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock. But running it all the way up to 11 o'clock is a rare occurrence nowadays. But it is kind of fun, and I enjoy it. And I appreciate you hanging around and being an inspiration to other people to do it. I remember when I first got my license, I was scared to death to squeeze that. First 6 months, I just listened because I wanted to know the protocol, and I didn't know the protocol. And, you know, I figured, okay, I know a little bit more every time I listen to it. But I don't know why. It just scared me to death, and I was in my 40s. Shame to admit that, but that's the way it is. That's real life. Anyway, we appreciate you hanging around this late this evening. I thoroughly enjoyed it, Larry. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge TV Internet? Call W4DJW. Okay, have I missed anyone for check-ins, or have I missed any comments? Call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll go ahead and close it out. Be sure and stop back by tomorrow at the same time, 9 o'clock, same frequency, and KO4HKX Patrick will be calling the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net, and I'm sure he would appreciate you stopping by, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. Please stand by for my net report. This is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 and good night.